You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Hello and welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community culture, and everything in between. Except this episode, because this episode is going to be all about Xbox. We're going to talk about the Xbox Games Showcase, and we're going to talk about Xbox everywhere, or at least their attempt to be everywhere. It is episode number 20, and we are recording for the week of July 27th. I'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. My name is Jarrett, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the games industry public defender and the scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zonkevich.
You know, it makes sense that we would talk about Xbox and only Xbox on episode 20 because Xbox has two X's, and two X's in Roman numerals is 20.
Thanks for the insight. Yes, but I'd like to thank you guys for taking the time to check out the Mash Those Buttons show and listen. And I'd like to thank and welcome back any returning listeners and give a very big special thanks to our supporters. I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, and I hope you're enjoying your benefits like the Cutting Room Floor and the Mash Those Buttons show extended play. And also like to thank our Twitch subscribers. And if you want to know when we go live, just follow us over at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Mash Network. And we'd love to have you join our Discord at mash.gg/discord. You can meet myself and Nick and, you know, talk with the other gamers in the Discord. So with that, before we get started, Nick, how's your week been going? What's up, man?
It's been going good. I've been having some headset issues, but I think I got that squared away. As far as gaming, I don't know, I played a little bit more WoW for the first time in a while, and I played some Destiny. So,
I would say that's important since you have not one but two World of Warcraft podcasts.
Yeah, but I think any veteran podcaster knows that you don't actually have to do what you talk about. You can make shit up.
Are you saying I'm not a veteran podcaster, Nick?
I'm saying some of our listeners may not be.
Yeah, this has actually been a really rough week for me from a gaming perspective. Like, I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima, and I think since the show, you know, it might as well be Ghost of Noshima. Because, like, it's just, like, I want to play the game. I'm still in the first act, and I want to enjoy it. I did get a chance to play some GTFO, though, so that was cool. But the thing about GTFO is, you're going to die a lot. You're going to fail a lot in most cases, and that's what we did. I think between Friday and Saturday, we had to spend about 6-7 hours on one level.
Oh, wow.
Totally. And we did not even get to the first half of it because we know – there's like what happens at the midpoint, and we haven't hit the midpoint yet. So, still fun with friends, right? That's what's important. The fun times with the friends.
Is it possible to do this without dying, or like, I guess it's
GTFO?
You just have to keep dying until you figure it out. Like,
in some of the levels, yeah, like the way they do it now, like at the early levels, you can just get through them. The early levels, especially if you've played the previous rundowns, are easier versions of the previous rundowns. They're there to help train new people. So if you've played the game, you should be able to get through those without dying. This is the very last level of this rundown, and it is no joke.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I want to play Carrion. It did come out last week, and I have not had a chance to pick it up. So I'm thinking about doing a special episode where all we do is just go over games that we wanted to play.
You know? That could be a whole podcast. It's just called The Backlog. And you just talk about awesome games that you've never actually played that are in your backlog.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little depressing. I did want to play some Carry On really bad, so maybe I'll get to it this week. But anyway, let's hop into the Xbox Game Showcase. This is actually something we recorded the night of the actual showcase. So we're going to go to that, and then me and Nick will be back because we're going to talk a bit more about Microsoft and their attempts to put Xbox everywhere. All right, I am here with Corey Treadway and Nick Scourge of Ironforge, Games Industry Public Defender. And yeah, we're going to talk about this Xbox Game Showcase. And I really just need to call it by the correct name because it was not the Xbox Series X Showcase. Mm-hmm. It was the Xbox Games Showcase. I mean, before we even get into the games, I think I gotta say, I honestly think they shouldn't have had this conference. I don't think they should have had it. Not because the conference was bad, right? A lot of the games they showed, I was like, that looks like an interesting game. You know, like, I'd be interested in that game. The problem is that it is clear that this showcase was meant to be a showcase of first party titles, but not necessarily a showcase for the Xbox Series X. And that's what people were expecting. Were expecting a showcase of the Xbox Series X.
Well, I'm not surprised. That's what the name of the conference was Xbox Series X Games Showcase. So you expected to see what the Xbox Series can do for games.
On the Xbox YouTube, it was called the Xbox Game Showcase. Not the Xbox. Where did you see it called the Xbox Series X Showcase?
The one I pulled, the stream I watched had Xbox Series X on it.
Who was doing the stream?
I think it was both IGN and a couple other ones had Xbox Series Games X, so that could have been just...
Yep, that's because that's them co-streaming, essentially. I always go to the source.
I couldn't get a source for some reason. I think it would not pull up for me.
Yeah, so on the Xbox YouTube, it is called the Xbox Games Showcase. English. That's what the technical title is for it. But yeah, I think the Xbox, I think the expectation was that they were going to show off the Xbox Series X through their games, right? That was what they were going to do. They were going to show off the Xbox Series X through their games. And that's just, if that was their goal, they completely and utterly failed at it, which that's why I don't think that was their goal, to be honest with you.
I was upset because I wanted to come on here and be all jokey, like, you know, like, oh, you know, the graphics suck compared to the Unreal 5 demo on PS5, knowing full well that, like, the PS5 graphics and the Xbox graphics are going to be comparable when you see them. And I can't even do that because the graphics legitimately suck compared to the Unreal demo on PS5.
Well, y'all saw the Halo thing when it first came on. There were glitching effects in the background. Lighting wasn't doing properly. There was just things not working. And I was having trouble watching the game because it was messing up on my screen. Like, it wasn't like the stream messing up. It was literally the game messing up.
No, I was watching the Halo demo, and it starts off with them, like, the plane that's crashing or going down or whatever. And yeah, like, all of a sudden, like, it looks like they're going to hit. And then the feed cuts out for me. It just goes, the screen goes black. And I'm like, okay, and then I'm just waiting for it to be like, okay, so they didn't show the crash, and they're going to cut to the future. And I'm like, wait, why is it coming back? And then I realized, like, my kid had hit the button on the PlayStation and shut it off.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, that I just don't. I think they would have been better off for a lot of these games just releasing trailers later, right? And then for some of these games, like Halo Infinite, they probably should have had just like a 30-minute video diving pretty, like, you know, a little deep into Halo Infinite. Fucking Hellblade, man. Oh my God. They should have just had like a video diving into that, but go ahead.
If I can go back to Halo for a minute, do we still know what Halo Infinite is? Like, did they explain?
Yeah, they did explain it.
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
They do. Yeah. So, yeah. Before we get into Halo Infinite, then I might not be the last thing I actually say about this. I was gonna say, this is going to be the last thing I say about this, but I don't know what it is. Somebody at Microsoft is getting paid a lot of money to make these decisions, right? Mm-hmm. This was a bad decision because even though Microsoft had that conference first with the Xbox Series X, the actual Xbox Series X showcase, but it had all third parties, which, in my opinion, was a bad idea. You know, you should have had your first parties in there more prominently. Sony's reply to that was their conference. People were expecting this to be a reply to Sony's conference, and it was not. So they made two bad decisions. One, their actual Xbox showcase was mostly third-party titles. And then two, this, you know, because Sony managed to show off their first-party titles, third-party titles, indies, all within an hour. They managed to show off how the power of the console, how good the graphics looked, how the fast IO works. And by the way, the Xbox has a NVMe storage. Mm-hmm. So that means they can utilize that ability as well. And they didn't showcase any of that.
Well, they had the medium that had like the two alternate worlds being rendered at the same time or whatever that you could switch. I couldn't tell if you switch between them or they literally had the two worlds rendered next to each other and you see both of them at the same time as you play. I didn't understand that part of the demo, but they tried. They slipped it in there. You had to be looking for it.
Nick, I would like to introduce you to 2016.
Because no. 2016 is when everything starts going downhill.
So Titanfall had a level that did that. Actually, both Titanfall and Dishonored 2 both had levels that did that. Mm-hmm. They both had it. So this is not a new concept to gamers. You're not playing both side by side. You can switch back and forth. This is not a new concept to gamers. Somebody probably saw that and was like, I can make something with that happen. You know, and started working on that game. That's not showing off the power of the Xbox One X, in my opinion. They just didn't do a good job showing off the power of the Xbox One X at all.
You didn't think that they showed off the power of the Xbox One X when they showed that like one graphic of the Xbox splitting apart and you could see all the parts like floating in space and the fact that like the one side of it is just a giant fan that didn't leave you impressed?
No, that did not. Yeah, so this was obviously a game showcase, but this is not what people were expecting. And the reason it matters is because this is going to generate more bad press than it will good press, you know. But let's hop into Halo Infinite. Let's actually talk about Halo Infinite because, yeah, one, the problems that Korbar mentioned, right? But two, in the ship, the game looked better than when you got outside the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know. In the ship, the game looked better. Chief is detailed. The guy's face is detailed. All that's great. And then you step out into the world, and I thought for a second that maybe the textures just didn't load in yet. Mm-hmm. And then they never got there. The textures never came. And I'm like, this game looks like a slightly upgraded version of like Halo 3. Not slightly. That's me being a bit ridiculous. But I'm like, the colors are washed out. The gun doesn't really look detailed. Like Halo 4 and 5 look better than this.
It looks closer to actually the remake of Halo 1, kind of like the stylization.
I think what they're going for, I think they're doing that on purpose. I think they're doing it on purpose because they're trying to be nostalgic. They're like, oh, you're back on the Halo ring. Doesn't this look like the original Halo, you know? Washed out colors, it's kind of animated, you know. I think that's what they are actually going for.
That makes sense because the designs of the enemies are way back to Halo 2 and Halo 1, because in Halo 4 and 5 they changed the elites and the enemies a bit, and now they're back to the original designs.
Right. Well, the thing is, the thing about it about these enemies though, they're the Banished, not the Covenant. So the Banished are a splinter group of the Covenant. And so I think it will make sense that they have older armor, right? Yeah. Like they basically never got the upgraded Covenant armor. That's another thing.
Well, that wasn't what I was talking about. I meant like in the newer versions, they made the elites bulkier for some reason. Like the same, like the Arbiter was a lot bulkier than he was in Halo 2. Same character, but now suddenly got massive shoulders.
Right. Well, I think that's more the armor, to be honest. Like that's what I think. I'd have to take a look at it again, maybe. But, you know, it will make sense that the models look older, right? But yeah. Like I said, if they're trying to get a nostalgic feel, then, you know, that's what they're going for. But this is not the time for a nostalgic feel. Like, people don't want the nostalgia of the original Halo in terms of looks. They want Halo, but looking better, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just really looked like this is your new engine, too? Like, this is them premiering the Slipspace engine. Or Slipstream engine?
I think it's Slipspace?
The Slip whatever engine. The Slip You Missed Your Chance fucking engine, as far as I'm concerned. Because we've seen new engines and how they look, right? Obviously, Unreal Engine 5 is a big one. But then also Decima with Horizon Zero Dawn and how that looks like. That whole trailer is an engine. And then this is what you show everybody when you premiere this engine. And by the way, Halo Infinite is not a game. Halo Infinite is a platform. So going forward, they are going to use this platform. And that's why they built the Slipstream engine in the first place, because they knew going forward they were going to build a platform and basically just deliver content via that platform.
Yeah, becoming more like a Destiny model where there's not supposed to be a 2, which Destiny did that, but they said there's not going to be an Infinite 2.
There's not going to be Infinite 2. They said there's going to be no Halo 7. There's no plans to work on Halo 7. And even when they named this Halo Infinite, I was like, yeah, I think they're going to try to string the story along. But go ahead.
Well, they said, though, that it's not an ongoing game like Destiny or a managed game like Destiny. That I believe them. but they were trying to you know, kind of establish that they're claiming that it's not going to be games as a service, but it's totally going to be games as a service.
No, I think this is new. This is new. This is the start of games as a platform. Well, this is the real start as games as a platform.
Yeah, because they specifically called it a platform.
I thought what Fortnite was doing was games as a platform. This is games as a platform. I guess technically speaking, what Fortnite is doing is still games as a platform, even though Tim Sweeney is like, no, it's not. It's a game. And we're like, no, it's not, dude. It's more than a game.
It's going to be a persistent environment with some sort of recurring revenue model.
Well, that's the thing. The reason I come and call it games as a platform, right? Because with games as a service, there's a couple different ways you can handle that. A, you have a subscription model. Wow. Mm-hmm. B, you have a model like Destiny where you pay $60 for the base title and then the expansions you pay $30, $40 for. I don't think that's happening. I think we're going to see you get Halo Infinite with the first episode or however that whatever they're going to title each, you know, piece of content for $60. Then the next piece of content will also be $60. But you basically just pay for it and you either download it into Halo Infinite, or what's going to happen is Halo Infinite, when the next episode comes out, is going to contain, you know, possibly both versions.
Kind of like the Master Chief Collection does now with all versions.
Bingo! That's exactly where they got the idea. If you were listening to the Mashes Button Show Extended Play, we talked about that. Shout out to the patrons. Shout out to the patrons. Yeah, I think this is the real start of games as a service. And I mean, I think that's a whole nother topic on its own, because you can start tying in what Sean Layton said about game development costs and start talking about that. You could talk about the GTA 6 rumors and how they're saying that it's going to be smaller at first and then grow. But we need to talk about Halo Infinite some more, because it's an open world Halo. I think a lot of people were expecting that, but I personally don't want an open world Halo. And the reason I don't want one is because Halo, like Doom, is best when it's tightly controlled. Halo is a great single player arena shooter or a co-op arena shooter. But the thing about those, like, arena shooters, they need to be closed. They need to be confined, and the environments need to be controlled. Right. So what could happen here is that it could be like a Rage 2 type of situation, or Rage type of situation, where you have an open world, which is pretty much like a hub world with enemies, and then you go into different areas where it basically kind of collapses in, and now you're in a in a linear environment.
Yeah, I was actually listening to some post-show stuff about the Halo, and apparently they've talked to developers, and it's going to be, they're saying it's going to be closer to like Gears 5 with those open world areas, but most of it be linear, and that you saw the ring was destroyed in the video, you'll be able to unlock those areas and make them become completed somehow.
Right. They did say there were going to be upgrades and things of that nature, and that's another thing I'm not necessarily a fan of in terms of Halo. Because, I mean, in my opinion, that means you might have to double back to certain areas because, well, let's say you didn't have the grapple, which they did show the grapple, which I was like, okay, that's cool. That was the one thing that made me smile in the actual video when they showed the grapple, and the fact that they didn't just show him grappling into something. They did it later, but the first time they show the grapple, you grapple into an enemy and pull yourself to them, yeah, which I thought was pretty cool.
Very Doom-like.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cheeky. In multiplayer, by the way. But yeah, so, you know, you may not have had the grapple, but now you do. So now you got to go back to this area that you've been to, you know, and they're saying that the game is going to have a coherent, solid story, but it's not going to be as seamless as, you know, a non-open world game, because you could go story, and then go 5, 6, 10 hours without a cutscene, you know, and then start running into some story again.
So I don't want that.
This is just not something I was looking for in a Halo. This is why Doom 3 failed. Because they tried to turn Doom into a horror game, because Doom scared somebody at some point, and they said they registered Doom as a horror game. Doom was never a horror game. You know, it had demons, but you had plenty of ammo.
The fuck, I had a rocket propelled wheelchair, so you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing, you know, and that's when they brought Doom back in 2016, and it was like, yeah, there's demons and it's hell and, you know, shit like that, but hey, the demons think you're the boogeyman. You know. But that's just like Halo. Like, the Covenant call you the demon. You know, because how badass Master Chief is. So it's actually kind of similar, but yeah, like, I don't think Halo needed an open world. It just wasn't something I was looking for. Now, another thing about Halo Infinite was that I am surprised they're actually continuing the storyline from a Halo Wars game, because the Banished, I didn't play Halo Wars 2, I just heard the synopsis, so I don't know the full story, but I'm pretty sure the Banished were from Halo Wars 2. They got, like, them getting that ring wasn't Halo Wars 2. Like, Halo Wars 2 was them getting that ring and taking control of it. So I'm surprised they actually went that route. If I remember what I heard correctly, I think they ran into the Guardians at the end of Halo Wars. So maybe they teamed up with Cortana. Because if you played Halo 5 and then you go into Halo Infinite, you're expecting to find out what happened with Cortana. You know, because even the game started, you know, it started at, what was it, May 28th, 2560, which I actually have to see how much longer that was after Halo 5. And it says 167 days after we lost, you know. So apparently they lost. From what it looks like they were fighting the Banished. The Banished, you know, crushed the UNSC, which I think is interesting since the Covenant couldn't crush the UNSC. And you know, I'm just guessing here, but they teamed up with Cortana and now they're trying to do something with a Halo ring. So it's like, there's so many questions, and maybe they'll be answered in the game. Like, what happened to blue team? What happened to green team? They were just colored green on the marketing. What was it? Osiris team?
Yeah, I think it was Team Osiris. Locke's team.
Team Osiris. So it's like, what happened to Team Osiris? What happened to Locke? You know, yeah, like, what happened with Cortana? Like, the last thing you remember, like, I think one of the last things was one of the captains, like, going into slipspace trying to get away from the Guardians, you know? And, like, so it's like, yeah, like, I want those questions to be, some of those questions to be answered as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, I think that's one thing they're trying to get away from, because a lot of people did not like not playing as Master Chief and playing as Team Osiris and having too many people. They got annoyed by that. So the beginning of this one, they're saying, like, you are Master Chief. They focus heavily on that.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine, but I don't think the story should have been thrown away. I think I thought the story progression was fine. I know some people were upset that Cortana turned bad, but if you know the lore of that universe, it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense that that would happen to her. God, I could have a whole show on that shit. This is just not a great, wasn't a great way to start the show, to be perfectly honest with you. And this is supposed to be their flagship game, and it looks like this on the Series X. And then after that, they showed like State of Decay 3, but they didn't show any gameplay. They showed a trailer. I don't even know people who play State of Decay 1 or 2, but I guess they are.
I know someone. There's one person.
So, and then they showed early footage of Forza 7, but I don't even know if it's Forza 7. It might be Forza 8. I don't know what Forza they're on.
It's actually titled Forza anymore. It's just Forza now. There's no number.
Yeah.
It's Forza Infinite. It's a platform.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the thing about Forza is that you just expect it to be the best looking thing they're going to show, you know? So, you just expect it to look really good. You know what I'm saying? At this point. But I am surprised that it's not going to be available for launch. That surprises me. Especially since I'm pretty sure they don't have a Forza Horizon this year. They didn't have one last year either, right?
They haven't had a Forza in a bit. The last thing was Forza Street was the last thing we've gotten.
Don't.
I didn't say it was good. I just said that was the last thing it got recently.
Right. Then they showed, the next game they showed was Everwild, which, what the fuck is that game about? Like, no fucking idea. No, we don't understand the way to play it. And they said they have a growing community for it already. What have you seen?
that surprised me. I'm like, who the hell knows about this game? I've never heard about this game. Where'd the community come from?
It's probably like her mom and her neighbors and like everybody on Facebook.
Like, so I know, like, what was that? There was that creepy game they showed during the showcase, the first showcase, where everything was like white and
I know what you're talking about.
Can't even remember the name of the shit. God. Like, but the thing is, that game was a Kickstarter game. And I saw gameplay from that game from 2017. But I saw gameplay from that game while I was on Kickstarter, and apparently, I guess Microsoft gave them the funds to finish it. So I don't know if this game was in the same situation. No, it's not, because it's a Rare title. What am I talking about?
Oh, Scorn. It's Scorn. That's the game you're talking about.
Yeah, Scorn. It's Scorn. Yeah, the other game was Scorn. But yeah, so this one's a Rare title. I forgot. So I saw Rare. I'm like, okay, this might be okay. And I'm like, okay. They're like witches, right? Like, that's basically I think
they're supposed to be immortal or something.
They're immortals. Okay.
Eternals.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's what
Eternals.
They say. Yeah.
And then they make like light deer appear, you know, and that we have no idea what the game, and what she say about the game that fucking drove me nuts. I'm like, you are saying absolutely nothing, but you're talking. Like she said, it's a world that you can embrace or something like that. I'm like, okay. You're not Kojima. You can't do that.
We're so excited to be working. We're so lucky to be working on this. I'm like, cool, but what is it?
Yeah, like, I have no idea what it is. Then they show Tell Me Why, which is, it looks like a Life is Strange style of game. I think it's from the same people.
It's from the same developer.
That looks interesting. Once again, not really making a case for the Series X. They brought up they're re-releasing, or they're going to have a special version of Ori and the Will of the Wisps for the Series X. And it's just like, okay, so you're going to update it to 120 frames. And they said they're going to add some extra features. I'm like, okay.
Cool.
Then they showed an expansion for Outer World, which is like, okay, like this is not the place for that, because all this looks like previous gen. Like, this is not the place for that. They show Grounded, which looks cool. A game I'm interested in. It looks like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, like, survival game. Actually, this was the best part of the conference. Because this trailer had the best jokes in all of the Summer Games Fest.
Yes.
All of the Summer Games Fest. Like, it's the best, it's the best trailer.
I was thinking that because, like, the Outer Wilds DLC was done in a humorous style, and it was trying to be funny, and it just wasn't landing.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I'm like, this like, that's making it worse. Like, this is already feeling off, and now you're trying to be funny. And then, like when they came out and they were like, this is not the most expected game of the year or whatever, they put the Cyberpunk logo up. I was like,
It's the way they delivered it.
Yeah.
If you're waiting to play the best game or the biggest game of the year, wait for Cyberpunk.
Like that hit home. That was a solid,
I literally LOL'd.
Yes.
Because I wasn't expecting it. And then they said, from Obsidian, the developer that makes games nothing like this. Like, I was like, that is some funny shit, you know? So that was good. And I'm interested in the game. I don't even like survival games, but it looks like something I would, like, that looks pretty cool. Because it looks like a co-op survival game that you play with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is not the place. Like, this is not, especially because it's an early access title. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would argue this is the place if you have the other tent poles around it, that this is kind of like a little quirky title that you can slip in and everyone's like, oh, that looked kind of cool too. This is not the place when it's like, that's the one thing that actually landed.
That was the best one. And then they didn't show Avowed. They showed that they're working on a game called Avowed. And all they did was shoot an arrow into the sky. Somebody missed and it landed in the ground. And then they showed somebody's hands, you know,
also this part was a little interesting is they didn't specify it's supposed to be taking place in the Pillar of Eternity universe.
Okay.
So
don't, great, like, okay, like, you know, but it, like, once again, they didn't show gameplay, so it's like you didn't learn your lesson from the previous, you know, conference. And they showed As Dusk Falls, which is an interactive story. This definitely wasn't the place because people are looking for things to showcase the power of the Series X. This ain't it. It's probably going to be a great story.
To be fair,
a great story though.
It looked beautiful. I mean, the art on that was, you know, was very well done.
But you can probably run that shit on your phone. Like, you know, not the place. Then the Hellblade 2 made me mad. Like, they didn't show anything new. They didn't show any gameplay. They shouldn't have shown anything at all. Only thing he said was, hey, this takes place in Iceland, and you can watch a dev diary about Iceland.
Whoa. Do you know what's really sad about this? Is before this actually started, I was on the IGN's page. They showed back to back previous stuff for the Setsuna Sacrifice 2, and that had more detail, more stuff I didn't know about than the actual developer showing it on the Microsoft platform. Like, why is a commercial more informative than the showcase?
Yeah. Then they showed Psychonauts 2, and it looks like a great Psychonauts game. They had Jack Black singing. That's awesome, but it's not. No, this is not the place. Again, for what was expected. Okay, if you like, I'm overstating things because obviously they just wanted to show their first party titles. But like I said, that's not what people were expecting. People want you to give them a reason to buy the Series X. The biggest announcement coming out of this is the fact that Destiny 2 is going to be on Games Pass. That's the biggest announcement, in my opinion. That's pretty massive, especially if Destiny 2 turns out to be good. You know, so if the expansion has to be good, then the last 30 minutes, they go into basically like hit after hit after hit of games that are going to be, I think, console exclusives or exclusive to the Series X. But here's the problem. Stalker 2, no gameplay. Warhammer 40K Darktide, no gameplay.
Very
Tetris
niche.
Effect Connected. No, they shouldn't have even shown that. I know Tetris Effect is popular. It's an awesome game. And the gimmick, not the gimmick, but the reason it's an exclusive on the Xbox is because now it has multiplayer and co-op. But no, like, no, just, they should have skipped it.
You know, you sit here complaining that they didn't show gameplay for these games. They finally show a game with gameplay and you're not happy with it.
It's Tetris Effect. I have it on my PC and my PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is I've how Games Pass will work anyway.
They showed the Gunk, which actually had gameplay, but it's, I mean, it looks like a kind of like a 3D platformer, you know, like a little bit of a Mario Sunshine-esque. And it looked good, but it kind of, it didn't look like current gen graphics with a higher frame rate. That's what it kind of looked like. So maybe on the actual console, well, better.
It's also their first, the studio's first 3D game, because everything else they've released before then was 2D Metroidvania like games.
Right. That's fine. But they, like, at least they showed some gameplay for that. They showed some gameplay for the medium, which, like I said, I'm at this point, I mean, it's cool that you can go back and forth, but that's not like a crazy new thing that's happening.
I don't know. It wowed me and I'm all in on this. That's my game. That's my pick for game of the year when it comes out.
So they did show some gameplay, but that's going to be a horror style game. Then they show Phantasy Star Online, New Genesis. The thing that killed me about that one was new. It said at the, like, close to the end, said new adventure begins now. And then it said coming in 2020.
No, the thing that killed me about the Phantasy Star was the way the graphics came up, like the little hollow text over it. Like, it looked like they took a presentation from like 2012 and they were just showing it to you now in 2020. Like, you know, like graphics have evolved since, I don't mean like video game graphics, just like, you know, get better text overlays. I don't know.
There is a reason for that. The Phantasy Star Online originally released like 8 years ago. And a lot of
Phantasy Star Online 2.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great showcase. The best game that the best looking game they showed was actually Crossfire X. That, and it looks good. It looks interesting. But that is the best looking game they showed. Which, I mean, they showed you. See, that, I think that was an effective marketing because they showed you everything you need to know about it. It's got guns, it's got military dudes, it's got explosions. Military dudes and dudettes, and it's got explosions, you know, that's all you really need to know. And it's some guy named the Ghost. They call him the Ghost, so I'm guessing like he's really dangerous, but somebody predicted his death or something like that, and now you gotta find out what the fuck is going on. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and they also teased a new Fable. Okay, like, a couple things. One, they, all the stuff in the back half should have been loaded on the front half of the show. It should have been. Like, think about how Sony did it. And I hate to be that guy, but it's like, look at how they did it. The first half of their show was packed, first party, great looking stuff. And then they kind of started to die down closer to the end. And then they ramped it back up at the end a little bit. Imagine if they showed all the stuff. What was the name of that snap, Bug Snacks? Imagine if they showed Bug Snacks before they showed fucking Ratchet and Clank.
Spider-Man?
Or Spider-Man. They wouldn't have shown, like, they, nobody would have stayed around and actually see Spider-Man. You know, it's like, they would have called it the Bug Snacks Conference. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. I feel like their marketing department needs a shakeup. Because they're coming... I am all in on what Microsoft is doing. I think what they're doing is great. And I like the fact that they're actually really focusing on exclusives and first party titles, because that's the communication you get from both conferences, right? That they're focusing on those things. But just the communication to people is just not great, because we have to sit here and analyze what is going on just to get a decent answer.
And we're in the stuff and we know what's going on more often than your average Joe who might just come into this.
Right, yeah. Like, yeah, most people are going to take it at face value and then go. Like, you know, so on the YouTube chat, like, I don't have it up all the time, but I usually actually close it. But I could only see one line of text, and the only thing I saw constantly was L. 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 Like, going, like, scrolling up, man. Like, oh, man. It's just...
Ouch. Well, that hurts.
It's funny, like, you mentioned Bug Snacks, and I think if you look at the lineups like a baseball team, like, you've got your your average kind of workmen that are going to get you, like, you know, they'll get you the, like, they'll get on base, and then you've got your sluggers that are going to get you your home runs, and they're going to knock it out of the park. And like both, like Bugsnax is a single. It gets you on base. It's a solid, you know, interesting thing. It's not your slugger that's going to knock it out of the park. You know, that's your Spider-Man. That's your Horizon Zero Dawn. That knocks it out of the park. And you look at what was supposed to knock it out of the park didn't. And when you have a baseball team that the sluggers aren't hitting, you get all those people on base, and then they're stranded there, and they don't score. And that's what happened. Is Halo should have been an awesome way to lead it off. They were hyping that up. Everybody was excited for that. And that missed. And that can be hard if you kind of structure, if you're expecting to hit a certain level of hype from your leadoff, you know, from your leadoff, and you don't hit that, then that messes up everything after that, because, you know, they're thinking, okay, well, you know, we got to come down, you know, here, you know, here's our, you know, requisite Forza spot, you know, here's all this other stuff. And they never, you're entirely right that they needed to sit down and look at what they actually had in the presentation and acknowledge that, like, Halo is not that, at least the way they presented it, it was not going to carry it and set things off the way it was going to.
No, it's just unfortunate, because I think so even after all this, right? So actually definitely after all this, I think Sony is going to murder Microsoft in hardware sales. And Microsoft is going to murder Sony in software sales.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my question, because they said everything that you've seen here, including Destiny, as you pointed out, is going to be on the Games Pass.
Yes.
Which, that's, what is it, like $15 a month for the Games Pass, or there's varying?
It's $15 a month. You can get a little less if you get a year, but it's.
Okay. For now.
Okay,
for
$15 now. A month. And these games, they're not an additional fee. They're included in that $15 a month. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, why am I like, this was a great ad for Games Pass. If I have a computer that can connect me to Games Pass and get me into that environment, you know, hell, I'll check out Grounded. I'll check out Everwild. Those seem pretty cool. You know, and okay, yeah, it's another $15 a month I got to send out the window or whatever. But, you know, I don't care about Halo. Never. No offense, never cared about Halo. Not my thing.
Right.
You know, I have Destiny on the PlayStation, so I'll be happy there. But, you know, it's like, you're entirely right. I'm interested in some of the software. Maybe interested enough to sign up for Games Pass and pay them the $15 a month and be, you know, get in on this thing. Because this is not all that's going to be on Games Pass. There's going to be so much more.
Right.
But yeah, like the hardware, I don't care about the hardware. I don't need the hardware. If it plays on my computer, even in downscaled or down, you know, some kind of reduced graphical capacity, I don't care. Cause again, look at the games, you know, Everwild. I don't think that was really pushing the, you know, too much. Grounded. Okay. Seems decent, but, you know, even then what the Don't Nod game and, the other painted, visual novel type game, like those look, again, you said, you could play that on mobile. Like, yeah. You know, so yeah, I'm interested in the software. I'm interested in what they're selling, but that was not selling the hardware. And at the end of the day, I'm already planning, you know, to get a PlayStation 5. It's just a matter of, do I get it this Christmas or next Christmas?
Right.
Whereas I was never going to get an Xbox Series X, but I might sign up for Games Pass now.
Yeah, it should have been the Game Pass showcase.
And well, that's the thing. Like, I think that's what they want. Like, we've said it before. Microsoft doesn't care where you play Xbox games as long as you play Xbox games, right? I get that, but it feels like they really don't care about the hardware, which begs the question: like, why are you putting the hardware out in the first place? Then, mm-hmm. You know, like that, because they just did not push the hardware at all. Their first showcase showed mostly third party titles, which means you're going to be able to get those on PC, Xbox, and PS5. And this one showed first party titles, but you didn't give me a reason to get the hardware. Like, the Xbox Series X is going to be the most powerful console on the market, and you couldn't show nothing. I can't even get my voice that high. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't show me the closest thing that came, the best looking thing on the conference was Crossfire X. But honestly, that looks like if you had like a, you know, a 20 series NVIDIA card, you have those graphics, you know. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't expecting it to look that much better, but maybe if they would have showed more of it, like if they would have showed gameplay from Stalker 2, gameplay from Warhammer 40K. But no, they showed gameplay from The Gunk. They showed gameplay from Grounded. You know, they showed gameplay from Tell Me Why, because the gameplay is the story, but still. It's just frustrating. That's all. Go ahead.
I'm glad we're having this talk, because when I finished watching it, I was like, I'm very underwhelmed by that. And I kind of didn't like it. And I was like, is that just because like I'm a massive PlayStation fanboy and I just can't see this for what it was? Or was that legitimately underwhelming? And so I'm glad, like, oh no, okay, I wasn't biased. It sucked. I feel better now.
Well, I know when it ended, I'm like, oh, we're done already? Oh.
It was an hour. I was counting the time. I was like, they're not gonna do anything big here. And then they showed Fable at the end. I was like,
and they didn't show it well, because I love Fable. Been excited for Fable, but I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
They tried their best to put on a Sony conference, and they didn't. Like, you're not Sony. Like, Sony can show off Tell Me Why. Sony can show off As Dusk Falls. And people are like, oh my God, the game looks so good. Like, it looks like such a good game. That's what would happen if it was on the Sony conference. I can't wait to play that.
There's a difference, though. They showed like 12 other games on Sony's conference I wanted to play, and this stuff is just icing on the cake. Now it's like the main stuff, so.
Yeah. This is like, those games are like, you know, they're like, you know, your palate cleanser from watching somebody get their face blown off or explosions, and then you see in Miles Morales' face. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a palate cleanser for the next thing. Like, nobody eats a sorbet for dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine if the backpack kitten game, if that was in this presentation, people would be shitting on it. Everybody loved Backpack Kitten for Sony. People would be shitting on it. Like that there better be like some graphics in that backpack.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just, like I said, I think Microsoft still has a solid plan overall. I do. But the communication, not great. So yeah. I'm going to leave it at that. You guys got anything else before we close up here?
I'm looking forward to playing some of these games on my PC next year.
Or this year. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Sorry to put you through that.
Oh, it's fine.
All right. We're back. I've had some time to think about it, and I still think the conference is a bad idea. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to show that they have software titles coming out. They're trying to show that they have software and they have games, I should say, and that it's versatile, right? But this wasn't, I don't want to say this wasn't the place, because it was built for it to be. Maybe it just wasn't the time, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Nick.
Well, no, I was going to say, I should have known there was an issue, because when I watched the PlayStation conference, I watched it with my 4-year-old. He was into it. He was asking, like, what's up with the astronaut and what's up with all these different characters? And then the robot elephants at the end, he was way into that. And, you know, it was cool. And then I watched the Xbox one with him, and he was just sitting there on his little tablet playing Noggin. And he'd look up every so often and then just look back down. Like, he had no interest in it. So it did not pass the 4-year-old test.
Yeah, it's rough. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I said it during the, that recording, but I think Microsoft needs a bit of a shakeup in their marketing department. You can't do this twice in a row, Microsoft. Like, first of all, the policies of the Xbox One when you were going to launch were bad policies, but your messaging made things worse. I can't remember who was the head of Xbox at that time where he said, you know, when they asked him, well, what if somebody doesn't have internet access or they don't want to check in? And he said, well, we have a console for that. It's called the Xbox 360. Who was that? I can't remember his name. And Microsoft doesn't want me to. But yeah, I mean, like the messaging for the Xbox One was really botched. And the messaging for this console, it's not as bad as the Xbox One, definitely not. But it is getting a bit botched. Maybe not the messaging, but I just don't think they're showing the right things at the right time. That's all.
I feel like if anybody deserves like a pat on the back, it's whoever decided to go forward with that Unreal 5 demo on the PlayStation 5, because everybody was like, wait, you know, like just wait till Microsoft puts out their stuff and, you know, this, everything, you know, will look fine and whatnot. And like Microsoft didn't come anywhere close. And it's just like, everybody's like, oh, the PlayStation 5 is going to look amazing. And the Xbox Series X is going to look, you know, like subpar. And I don't necessarily think that's the case, but it's just, you know, like,
oh,
like,
it's definitely not the case,
but like this, the Sony, whoever at Sony made that decision, it's like, they were like challenging the Microsoft marketing department, like, deal with this. I don't think you can. And then Microsoft just looked at what Sony did and then pooped themselves.
Yeah, and the funny thing, the game, so Microsoft has a game that is using the Unreal 5 engine, which is the new Hellblade. Hellblade 2 is using the Unreal 5 engine, and you couldn't show, they didn't show any gameplay for that. I'm just like, guys, I'm rooting for you. I need you to be good. I need you to be great, actually. And no, they just didn't answer well. So we'll see. Maybe they'll, hopefully no more conferences from them until launch.
go to your room. Sit in your room, think about what did.
No more conferences. I think that at this point they'd be better off just doing maybe individual events or trailers, something like that. I honestly think they're going to need to organize another Halo Infinite event. I think so.
I think they're going to need to organize another Halo Infinite.
But we do one thing that we've talked about is Microsoft plans to put basically Xbox everywhere. There is no problem. There is no program called Xbox Everywhere. That's just what I called it. They can take it if they want to.
You called it that because you're not the Microsoft marketing department.
They want to put Xbox everywhere. So that was one of the main appeals of Microsoft's strategy to me, the fact that they wanted to be hardware agnostic. And they could do so with xCloud. Like, I think xCloud on the Switch would be massive. Like, they're right now they're aiming to have Xbox xCloud on the phone, which is like, okay, I guess that's fine. But no, xCloud on the Switch is what would have been the killer. But apparently Microsoft is kind of backing away from that. Not necessarily xCloud on the Switch, but backing away from, you know, that goal of having Games Pass on every platform. Because they're just saying that not all of the platform holders are really prepared for that, right? They're not looking to deliver that experience, you know. Actually, Phil Spencer said, the thing about other gaming console platforms is we're not able to bring the full Xbox experience on those platforms, noting that the company has been able to bring such an experience to PC and mobile phones. So yeah, because you can kind of do what you want there. But Sony and Nintendo have much more control and constraint over their platforms. Not to mention, you're still a competitor, you know, so they're not going to just let you run, you know, freeform on their platforms. It's got to be something in it for them. He goes on to say, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if anybody has experience getting platforms to run on a competitor, I mean, it's Microsoft. Like, I can get Outlook and Office on my MacBook.
Does it run as well, though?
No, and the truth is I don't own a MacBook because I don't want to run them on there, but I could if I wanted to.
True. He says, we know when somebody is playing one of our Xbox games, there's an expectation that I've got my Xbox Live community, I've got my achievements. Games Pass is an option for me. My first party library is completely there, Spencer added. And the other competitive platforms aren't really that interested in having a full Xbox experience on their hardware. But for us, we want to be where gamers want to be. And that's the path that we're on. I mean, I guess that means that they could still do xCloud on the Switch. You know, I did not think Microsoft would have anything on the PlayStation, to be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, yeah, that's not. That's a honestly, non-starter.
If we're being realistic here, aiming to have their software on the PS4, or sorry, on the PS5, would actually be putting it on an inferior platform. I mean, the only place where the PS5 really excels over the Xbox hardware is that input-output off of the storage. But in terms of raw graphical power, like, it's just, it's not as powerful.
Well, if they can get it on the Switch, I mean, the Switch is an even more inferior platform, so.
Right. So, I mean, that's why you, I mean, you only have, like, what, Cuphead and Ori and the Blind Forest right now. They don't even think they can run Ori and the Will of the Wisps at 60 frames on the Switch. That's why I think for the Switch, the xCloud would actually be the better, like, that's what they really should be aiming for. And if they do xCloud, I don't understand why you couldn't have Xbox Live achievements. I mean, if you're going to do xCloud, there's zero reason not to have Games Pass. Zero reason not to have Games Pass. So, yeah, I mean, that was, maybe I'm just overthinking it, but that's kind of a big blow, where if they can't really spread out the way they want to, you know, make Xbox a platform as opposed to just a hardware box, you know?
I wonder if this isn't some sort of public negotiating, that maybe something, you know, like, because I'm assuming they've been in talks with at least Nintendo about getting more onto the Switch and whatnot. And maybe this is them kind of saying, like, oh, we're gonna back off or here, we're gonna slow it down. And then, you know, whatever the however this affects the negotiations and their status, we won't know. But, you know, he might say this now, and like 3 months from now, I'll be like, and it's all on Switch, because, you know, we got that all worked out, that, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces here that we don't see.
Yeah, I think actually for the Switch, it'll be a pretty big thing, right? Because you have a ton of people who have no interest in getting a Switch. None. But if you had xCloud available on the Switch, then they will be like, oh, great, you know, let's do it. Because now I can play, you know, my games mobily. Even if you have to, like, well, I mean, we have to see how if the xCloud has some type of cache, or maybe you could download a game or something like that. Because I know PS Now, there are certain games you could just download, right, and run it inside of PS Now. I imagine you could do the same thing with xCloud, like maybe just pull the entire game down and run it inside of xCloud as stream data, maybe, you know. So I don't know, maybe that wouldn't work, because, you know, the xCloud servers are rendering the game itself as it's being played. So I don't know, but still, even be having the ability to take your Switch and, you know, go to your couch and play like some games and stuff like that, versus having to sit in front of you know, a TV and monopolize it with your Xbox, you know, or just having, like, so it'll give Switch players, you know, a second library of games to access.
I almost wonder how hard it would be for Microsoft to just make their own, like, you know, like xCloud with a screen and a controller device, and that's it.
That's your phone, dude. Like, that's your phone.
Yeah, but you gotta. The controller is extraneous, though. You have to go through the steps of hooking up. I've tried, admittedly, different product, but I've tried to get my my PlayStation controller to work with my phone, so I could use the remote play there. And actually, my model phone does not work with the PlayStation 4 controller. So.
Yeah, because it needs the proper drivers. So if Microsoft really wanted to do that, they could just make the Xbox controller, which is Bluetooth compatible, you know, work with phones. Problem solved, super easy, click of a button. No. But still, I mean, like, they could work toward that goal if that's what they really want to do. So, I still think Microsoft has a really solid strategy. It's not necessarily working out exactly the way I thought, but then again, I'm like, I'm not a Microsoft insider. I'm getting the same information you guys are, and I'm trying to extrapolate what I see. I like I said, I think I mentioned it last episode, or maybe it wasn't last episode. I think it was on Extended Play. Yeah. It was an Extended Play where I was like, I'm surprised that they're shutting down the production of the Xbox One X and keeping the Xbox One S. But then again, they want to give you a reason to move forward, right?
Right.
So I think the Xbox One X is $400 right now. If they drop whatever this other Series X, Series Y, whatever the fuck it's going to be, if they drop that at $400, then yeah, definitely get rid of the X, you know?
I almost wonder if, like, the entry test, like one of the interview questions, like to get into the Microsoft marketing team, is like name our next four consoles. And if you don't come up with some kind of like batshit stupid names, then they don't bring you in.
But that's all Phil Spencer's fault because you know he had to approve that name.
I think, yeah, but that just means we didn't see the real great ideas that he's like, oh no, we can't do that.
Yeah, they're just really trying to stick inside that Xbox brand, but it's just difficult to say at this point. Even though I was on fucking point during extended play with all those names, I didn't mess up once.
No, I was impressed.
Yeah. So, honestly, hopefully, like I said, I don't think going forward, I don't think Microsoft should really. At this point, we're just a couple months away from launch. We think, because they haven't announced any release dates. There's been no prices or anything like that. But we imagine it's going to go down in November, which is, you know, why we, you know, one of the reasons why I think we think Cyberpunk is going to be releasing around that time. I think they'd be better off like maybe focusing on some of their titles like Halo Infinite. Do one of those like state of the plays on Halo Infinite. I know that's a Sony thing, but they got the right idea. You know, do like a state of play on Halo Infinite, like some other event like that with the graphics looking better. Oh my God. Oh, geez. Like, we'll probably get more into an extended play, but they said, oh yeah, that was an early build of the game. Like, well, why did you show it then? Did you show it? And they said a couple things. They said, one, it's an early build of the game. Two, the sun was positioned in the wrong place. It made it a little bit harder to show off the graphics because the way the sun was positioned. Like, because they don't have baked lighting, because in Halo Infinite, you have a day and night cycle. And so the position of the sun didn't really help. I'm like, you have full control over that. Come on, guys. Come on. Like, you showed an early build of the game.
Maybe they meant
at your game showcase.
Maybe they meant early as in like time of day early, and that's why the sun was in the wrong place.
Like, you know, and I mean, this game is slated to come out into like December, man. Like, come on. Well, you know, or holiday 2020, sorry. So maybe November.
Well, they're already saying what the ray tracing is going to be coming in an update. There were rumors since debunked that the multiplayer wouldn't be there at launch. And
general, that would kill this game.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, as I said, they have since been debunked. But the general sort of feeling around this is that they're pushing this to be a launch title, and it should not be a launch title. Like, they need to say, like, it's just not, you know, it's going to need another 6 months, you know, a year, you know, however long, you know, to push it back. But they want this at launch, and so they're going to force it out the door, you know, state be damned.
They're trying to fix a not fix a mistake, but try not to make the same mistake they made with the PS3 and the Xbox 360 launch, because originally it was thought that on the day, like, it was rumored that on the day the PS3 was to launch, Microsoft will launch Halo for Halo 3. That's what the rumor was, and if that would have happened, I honestly think Microsoft would have just like crushed Sony. Because remember, the price of the PS5, the PS3 was already expensive.
Yeah.
But you mean tell me for $400 I can get an Xbox and Halo 3? You know, so I don't know. Maybe that's what they're trying. Like, they want to have a killer app available on launch. Because isn't Miles Morales like a launch title for the PS5?
Isn't even a title? Like, I think, yeah, that'll be out. Yeah, I think that'll be out this year. So, yeah.
Yeah. I remember when Infamous was, like, one of their titles that they'd push out to show the power of the console. Rip Infamous. I hope the next game from Sucker Punch is an Infamous. I really do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying Ghost of Tsushima, but we don't need two of those in a row, guys. Like, we really don't. We need another Infamous, since we've only had one this console cycle. Dying over here. All right. Well, I think we should wrap up. Like, yeah, this episode was just all about Microsoft. I don't know. Can't get out of my head, man. I'm just a little disappointed. Just a little disappointed with what we were seeing. But overall, I do think they're still on the right path. But, you know, I guess, I mean, we'll just see what happens in November. But
I almost wonder if like the end game here isn't just let Sony just make the console And then Microsoft just put xCloud on it, and that's it. No more. Like, get rid of the Xboxes. Just get rid of them.
I don't know. It's not like the Xbox is a bad piece of hardware.
It's not. It's not. But it just feels like they're... I don't know. It just feels like if they want it everywhere, like, if ultimately, like, they're very platform agnostic, it seems. Like, just let them do xCloud and be everywhere, and you don't need a box for it.
I think Sony needs to come out with better hardware to meet their needs. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, the new Xbox, like, it's pushing for, like, you're going to be able to run 4K at 60 frames per second. Now, how many gamers are actually going to run 4K 60 frames per second on launch is debatable. But it is a feature that, you know, in the next, I want to say in the next few years, like, the next 4 or 5 years, that's going to be, like, a very viable thing. You know, and it's going to be very important for people to be able to run games that fast. I mean, the fact that the Xbox on launch, a lot of their games will run at 120 frames per second, I think that's actually really good for esports, because the consoles are just more accessible than PCs. You'll get more people into esports that way. And in order to compete with esports, your hardware does matter. Playing Overwatch at 60 frames per second puts you at a disadvantage over somebody who's playing at 144 frames per second. And the closer you can get to that, the better off you are. So I think it's the hardware is still important, you know. Like, don't get me wrong, PS5 is nothing to sneeze at, you know what I'm saying? It's not like a piece of shit. It is. They just chose to focus on a different area of hardware, you know. But raw power still matters, in my opinion, so. All right, so we are going to wrap up here. I'd like to thank you guys for listening. We got coming up this week on the network. We got a new We Are Survivors, probably two new We Are Survivors. We got a new Warcraft Reloaded. We're going to have a new Torn and the Goblin. We're going to have a new Sit Rep Happy Hour, a new Push the Point, a new Dropping Spicy, a new Double Tap. Yeah, I think that's all. Oh, no, a new Wondrous Tales.
Damn.
Busy fucking week. Oh, man. So we hope you enjoyed those shows. And yeah, if you want to keep up with what's going on with Mashless Buttons and the Mashless Buttons Network, just follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. Nick, where can they find you?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on The Torn and the Goblin, which is hitting episode 100 this week. So congrats to us. And also on WoW Talk, which is our Warcraft news and gaming and community show. So check those out.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter at Joshradamus. You can also follow us on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/MashlessButtons. You'll find me streaming there most of the time, but we also have a show streaming there. Not occasionally, at least weekly. So if you want to know when we go live, just follow us. Like I said, twitch.tv/MashlessButtons. We'd love to have you join our Discord, which is mash.gg/Discord. And we encourage you guys to contact us with comments and questions, so you can reach out to us on Discord, you can reach out to us on Twitter, or you can email us at contact@mash.gg. If you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to, share the show with others and to rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to take your support a bit further, you can do so on Patreon at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. You can help support Mashless Buttons with tiers starting at $1 a month and gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. We also have a Teespring store, teespring.com/store/mashthosebuttons. And like I said earlier, we do have a Twitch channel, so you can drop a Twitch sub if you want to support that way. And we encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about Mashless Buttons. And with that, we are done for the day or night, whenever you listen to this. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys later. Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.